China put him in prison along with his wife for illegal evangelism. You need to hear what he has to say about cancel culture in America. Hi, I'm Stuart Shepherd, and this is First Liberty Live. Thank you for liking and sharing our videos. That's how we get to meet new people. You're an important part of this project, and I just want to thank you in advance for doing that. You're an important part of this, and we appreciate you for that. Our theme this month is Live Not in Fear, Live Not by Lies. And our guest is someone who had a very real reason to fear, but made a solemn decision to live by faith. Bob Fu is the founder and president of an organization called China Aid, and he has a unique perspective on where we are in American history right now today. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Stuart. Thank you for having me.
I've been reading your book. It's called God's Double Agent, and it says on the cover, it says, impossible to put down. And I thought, yeah, I've seen that on a lot of books. And then I started reading it. It's impossible to put down. What a story that you tell in there. It's just a fascinating story about God's grace. Back in 1989, when you were a student, a college student, you and some friends took a train to Tiananmen Square, and you joined thousands of other students, perhaps a million, who were protesting, asking for free speech, democracy, a lot of other changes in the way China was run. Describe for me what you saw when you were there.
Yes, Stuart, back to 32 years ago in Tiananmen Square, hundreds of thousands of peaceful students and citizens from all over China gathered at the Tiananmen Square, a square literally in Chinese can be translated as the Square of Heavenly Peace. And we were just asking for less corruption, more freedom, and more democracy and accountable government. And then, of course, a little did we expect, the Chinese Communist Party hardliners had ordered a military crackdown with a massacre in the early morning of June 4th, 1989.
And my understanding is because your future wife who was with you became ill, you left just a few days before the crackdown started.
By God's grace and really supernatural providence, I was spared as one of the tankmans. It was a bloody crackdown. Thousands of lives were murdered that morning. And so I was spared because of my then girlfriend, and later on my wife Heidi was very sick at the Tiananmen Square. But I have certainly known firsthand how brutal the Chinese Communist regime have been even since that time.
And the Chinese government keeps track of everything, and even then, I mean, they've only mastered the art of that over the years, but even in the late 80s there, they kept track of who was there and who was protesting and who was organizing other students, so they started watching you. I mean, you were under total surveillance after that.
Yes, Stuart, I'm back to that time, late 1980s, early 1990s, China has not certainly entered into this, what we call is the digital authoritarianism age. Still, they have human agents, they have political officers, they have a party apparatus watching you and monitor you every move. I mean, even like after one visit to a government-sanctioned church service. That was after the crackdown. I became a follower of Christ because of American missionaries' ministry. And
we're going to talk about that. We'll get that part of the story in here.
Yeah. I mean, even after that one time, one day when I was walking on campus, I was picked up, suddenly put out to a park by the Chinese secret agents and start questioning me why I started going to church. So that shows how much control and surveillance that had been. Nowadays, they have face recognition cameras. Every Chinese has two, at least two face recognition cameras out of 1.4 billion people now following them.
So hard to imagine. Let's talk about the days that led up to your decision to follow Christ. You called them the darkest days of your life in the book. And it came out of the fact that after the protests, you were under constant surveillance. It wasn't clear what your future would be at university and what your career would be after that, whether they would allow you to go on. And you even got to the point of thinking about murder. Tell me about that.
Well, that was a very disappointing, really despair and even disillusioned time because I didn't think I would have any bright future if I were fired, kicked out of the university as a countryside boy. Not only myself's career is ended, would be ended, but my whole family, my villagers, my fellow countrymen, my whole county, city would be impacted negatively by this so-called political criminal activity. So that's also the betrayal by my fellow friends and including university leaders who used to be very close to me before the Tiananmen students' movement, and all betrayed me. So I felt so kind of a disillusioned and in a desperate mood. So I was thinking to just committed a suicide campaign, basically to terminate my life and died a good death with those who betrayed me. That's how, of course, the Lord found me during that moment of crisis in His supernatural, providential way.
Let's talk about that, because it's one thing to become a Christian, but you became a Christian in communist China through an unusual way. It wasn't like you went to a service and a preacher preached a sermon. You were handed a little booklet that told a story, but the truth of the gospel resonated with you. What's it like becoming a Christian within communist China?
Well, we were educated being brainwashed as atheists, as dialectical materialism is our religion. Communism is our kind of ideology for worship, and Communist Party is the god. Chairman Mao used to be worshipped as a as a god. And so we did not have any knowledge about the triune God, and the Lord Jesus Christ. And, so it was during that time I was really in a very desperate mood. Then the gospel of Jesus Christ came to me through a biography of a Chinese pastor that was smuggled in by our American Christian English teachers, who were actually secret missionaries. They smuggled in from Hong Kong or California. And so reading that biography, showing the real power of God through whom can only make a new creation in Jesus Christ. That was the moment make me, number one, realize I was a hater, basically, filled with the hatred toward other fellow human beings with a righteous mind, and thinking, oh, I'm doing something good. And so that came to convict me. I guess the Holy Spirit, I was as sinful, as deprived as my betrayers. And number two, of course, I came to the knowledge through the word of the Lord that if anyone is in Christ and Christ alone, you can become a new creation, and the old has gone and the new has come. So Christ Jesus, through His Holy Spirit, with the salvation He has done by faith, that can right away transform your life. And so, you know, Chairman Mao and all Communist Party leaders have been teaching us every day that by, you know, learning from these Communist Party heroes, by accept this utopia ideology of communism, we can become generation of new kind of believers of something, a new humanity. We're not. And actually, the same government who holds that same ideology started killing its own people by murdering them with machine guns, with tanks. And thirdly, the moment I look at these truths, the Holy Spirit basically convicted me, said, you know, now you can be a new creation by the Creator, the Redeemer, the Inspirer himself, the Holy Spirit. And so that's how I, without anybody teaching me, I just kneeling down, on the floor behind the classroom while I was writing my confessions for all the so-called the antagonistic activities during the Tiananmen Square. I came to know the Lord as my Savior and Lord. So that was my salvation, the testimony.
And that opened up an interesting stretch of time for you. And in the book you say it's a period of about 3 years where you thought of yourself as God's double agent. Describe for me the job you had in the daytime and then the work that you were doing in the evenings.
Well, Stuart, one of the neglected attributes of God is that God is also a humorous God, right? He's full of humor. I mean, he used a prostitute, Rahab, to be a rescuer of the Jews, I mean, the Hebrews.
Right.
And so I came to Beijing, of course, finishing my graduate school, and then humorously, God assigned me a job teaching English during my daytime to the Chinese Communist Party leaders at the Beijing Party School of the Communist Party in Beijing City. And at the evening and the weekend, I was as busy as any other preachers, full-time pastors, sharing the gospel, established Bible study groups, and then a house church, then even the underground Bible school. Later on, of course, led arrest of me and my wife.
And what were you arrested for? Tell me what the charge was.
Well, the charge was called Feifa Chanjiao in Chinese, means illegal preaching or illegal evangelism.
Wow.
Basically, the Communist Party prescribed anyone without the explicit authorization by the Communist Party and its affiliate patriotic associations who preach the gospel, who set up church, are called illegal, self-proclaimed illegal evangelists and illegal religious activities. Thus, subject for persecution and imprisonment, and on and on.
Yeah, so you were in prison for 3 months. I need to shorten the story for time, but basically then you were able to escape to the United States.
That's right. By God's grace, after we were released, it's 2 months, and then we were found, Heidi was pregnant without pregnancy permit under the China's family planning policy, huh. And she could face the imminent forced abortion, and we were facing imminent arrest. So by God's grace, he opened the door. We're able to escape from China and exile to the United States through Hong Kong. 3 days before Hong Kong was handed over to China in 1997, we landed in the land of free in the United States of America.
You have a view on things that few other people on the planet have, given the story that you came out of. What is it about a totalitarian government that always makes it view religion as something that has to be eliminated, that cannot coexist with that kind of government?
A totalitarian government one of the key features, like the Chinese Communist Party and Russia, of course, other dictatorial governments, one of the things that they are really afraid is there's any other supreme authority above their own. I mean, so that's why when we proclaim Jesus Christ is Lord, and that itself is very subversive to them politically. And so that's why Christianity, of course, the Protestant and the Catholics are regarded as a national security threat. To them, it's a regime survival issue. So that's why they want to eradicate, eliminate, and if they can't make you submit to their total control, like they did to the government-sanctioned church leaders, they have to make a vow and totally pledge to, submit the control, the total control, complete control of the Communist Party and President Xi Jinping himself in the past few years before the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that is, what's happening during the early church years in the Roman Empire. That's still true now in China, Iran, and Russia, Venezuela and Cuba, all these dictatorial countries, whatever name regime they're using. And unfortunately now, under the pretext of the COVID, some governors, little city mayors, they think they are the little emperors. They want to also dictate that by really inserting fear. I mean, that's another feature those dictatorial leaders try to make, is they make you feel like full of fear of their control. And if you don't comply, then your electricity will be cut off, like happened. The California governor threatened to the residents during the COVID time. Yeah. Of course, the Communist Party has used that all the time. And of course, they want you to see they can imprison you and make you lose your physical freedom. That's been happening to hundreds of thousands of Chinese Christians.
Of course, First Liberty Institute is a nonprofit law firm that exclusively does religious freedom cases. And especially over the last couple of years, we have represented churches who've been told they can't meet with people sitting in their cars in a parking lot for an outdoor worship service because somehow that's unsafe while people just up the street are going in the big box stores and buying home supplies and that kind of thing. We've seen flight attendants who've been fired after expressing their faith on an employee forum. We had the story of the woman who liked to share the gospel in a park across from her house, and she was banned from the park for 2 years because of that. Currently, we're in the process of representing 40 Navy SEALs who, because of their seeking a religious exemption, an accommodation, rather, to the vaccine mandate, they're being threatened with having their careers ended, with being forced even to repay the training costs for training them to be a SEAL, which runs into hundreds of thousands, if not more, dollars. When you see those stories, when you see the remarkable cultural shift happening in the U.S. right now, with cancel culture, shadow banning, all those things, you have a unique perspective on this. What do you see in the American culture right now, given the perspective that you have?
That had been what's happening in the past 18 months or so under the pretext of the COVID-19, or we call the Chinese CCP virus, the Chinese Communist Party virus, is astonishing, with the great similarity of what has been happening during the Chinese Cultural Revolution. So I see really it's very worrisome signs. Some American, especially younger generation, had been being brainwashed with this ideology, utopia, kind of a fancy idea in that name, and engage this cancel culture. And look, when any government, any political institution start issuing a uniformity, a so-called mandate, not only just for so-called public health in that name, but start regulating how and what and when to worship. I mean, your faith. I think that is the start of religious discrimination and then passive and active persecution. I mean, the fact that, as you mentioned, Sister Gail, the first Liberty representative, who was even issued a gag order, a prevention order, from going to a park for simply sharing the gospel as her calling to ministry peacefully, share the good news to those people in the park, that is certainly constituting a religious persecution. I see, I mean, this kind of signs is very worrisome now in American society. I think at the start of erosion of the First Amendment protection, but certainly the loss of the freedom of conscience, the freedom of religion that the Founding Fathers had envisioned.
What should we do as Christians who just simply want to live out our faith in the culture, people of faith of all kinds who are wanting to enjoy the freedoms guaranteed under the First Amendment in our Constitution? What do we do in this environment? What actions should we be taking?
Number one is, Peter and Paul both taught us in the Scripture that fear not, right? Number two is be prepared, because this being a Christian means about this. So I call it theology of the cross, or the prison theology. So as Paul said, not only we are granted to believe in Jesus Christ, but also we should suffer for him. And anyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. So persecution is not just something strange. We have to just count on First Liberty to do this job. Every Christian should be prepared, unless you don't want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus. And the third one is to resist, right? When you resist, I'm not in an armed way, but resist with the full armor of the gospel as prescribed in the chapter 5 of the book of Ephesians, and with the truth, with the Holy Spirit, with the spirit of boldness, speaking up in public square, especially from the public office you're holding, and not being intimidated by those cultural cancel culture kind of propagandists, and the big tech, the media, in the past really 18 months, try to make you feel scared, make you discouraged. But if the Lord is with us, and if God is for us, who can be against us? And even persecution. I mean, it's the Book of Romans, chapter 8, said, who can separate us from the love of Christ? Is prison, is ACLU, is the Department of Justice, is any political party, is any CNN or MSNBC, Google, Facebook, censorship? No, none of this. Even the hell, cannot separate us. Even the angels, demons, nobody can separate us. I think this is the message I want to share to our brothers and sisters. Be prepared, fear not, and of course hold the truth with a spirit of resistance, and then the devil will flee.
So many people that I know choose silence and avoiding any conflict because they feel like, well, I don't want to be called names. I don't want to have people, thinking that I'm one of those crazy Christians. What I'm hearing you say is this is the time to speak up. Choose our time to speak up, but to speak up when the time is right and to resist what's happening.
That's right. I mean, look at like Pastor Wang Yi from Early Rain Covenant Church in Chengdu, South China. After, I mean, even before he was, his whole church was smashed in December 2018, and then he was sentenced to 9 years imprisonment for subversion of state power. And he was already prepared. He was already writing, even recorded video, telling the congregation and the whole world that fear not to those who just can rob your freedom physically by putting you in prison, but not able to kind of get rid of or damage your soul and spirit. And so that is, I think, the preparedness American Christians especially should be prepared to face, and instead of being intimidated and then giving up or giving in. Because if we give in 1 inch to this cancel culture, to this bullying by the big tech and media censorship and the political party kind of apparatus, then they will come after you with 1 foot, and they will make you surrender. And I think both the lessons from both the early church and, of course, the persecuted church from North Korea, from China, has vividly demonstrated that with the gospel of Jesus Christ, we have nothing to fear, nothing to be afraid, even imprisonment. So I think that actually brings more glory of the Lord. And that's in China, when those preachers, those street evangelists, so-called illegal evangelists, like I was labeled, they always make the prison as another church. So in the end, we are the winners, no matter in prison or out of prison. God and His Holy Spirit are working as the living God. So we have nothing to lose, nothing to be afraid.
That is sobering, but it is encouraging at the same time. I have a question. It's not on my script, but I'm just curious. I see over your shoulder a red cross. And in prepping for this interview, I noticed that often in China, the cross is red, that it's depicted in red. Is there a story behind that or a reason for that, or is it just what they do there?
That was there is a story, because since 2015, the current president, Xi Jinping, has launched a war against the cross. Basically, tens of thousands of crosses were forcefully destroyed, burnt, and demolished from the rooftop of the church building. So the cross became an enemy, national security enemy. So we launched a campaign basically painting these little crosses. And so this is one basically presented to, Senator Ted Cruz when we were together. And I said, okay, you know, just stand for the cross with the Chinese persecuted brothers and sisters. And guess what? I mean, even the Communist Party can destroy, remove the visible cross from the church building. There are thousands and thousands of cross-bearing, Christ-loving believers, even new believers, had been emerged throughout this persecution time. I mean, even Wang Yi's, Pastor Wang Yi's church, every year, every few quarters after his arrest, there are newly baptized believers. You would think, oh, you know, pastor were arrested, the whole church were being under surveillance every week, and you would think no other new believers. No, actually, that's how the gospel operates. You know, when they see you are having a true God, facing even persecution, you still smile, you are still praying for the persecutors, and that is the attractiveness of the gospel. And the many non-believers, even the prison guards, public security officers, have come to Christ with big numbers. So that is the winning strategy of the church growth in the persecuted church. That's why when the Communist Party took power in 1949, we only have 1 million Christians. And now today, at minimum, in China, the number of Chinese Christians had reached to over 100 to 130 million already.
Wow. I want to give you a couple of minutes before I let you go to share about the work you're doing through China Aid, the organization you founded. What is it? What do you do?
Yeah, so China Aid is a kind of a Christian ministry, NGO, with a mission to advance religious freedom for all in China. And we do this by exposing the abuses of the persecution, by encouraging the abuse, and equipping the leaders with the biblical worldview and the rule of law trainings. So we do. We are a voice like First Liberty. We also provide legal defense, like First Liberty is doing, for those who are persecuted. We also engage trainings and basically sending support to equip and encourage those family prisoners and prisoners themselves for their faith.
All right. Your website is?
Our website is ChinaAid.org. So ChinaAid.org.
Yeah. Bob Fu, thank you so much for sharing with us. A lot of encouragement in there. I appreciate your boldness, your willingness, and your perseverance through all of this.
Thank you, Stuart, for having me. And God continue to bless you and your family and the Ministry of First Liberty.
All right. Thank you again. First Liberty Institute is exclusively focused, of course, on doing religious freedom cases. We're currently involved in some that are at the Supreme Court. Others we're asking the Supreme Court to take, all the way down to local jurisdictions where we're working, defending people who are being chased after by government and by others for their faith. If you'd like to support that, if that's something that's important to you, just drop by firstlibertylive.com. You can subscribe and get updates for when we do live videos like this one, and also you can donate to our efforts there. And I should mention we're now available as a podcast on all the major outlets. I was listening to Al Mohler in my car the other day, and it rolled over into one of our webcasts and listened to it. It's actually it's a cool way to take in this information if you're out driving or whatever. So just look for it, any podcast app that you have, it will be there. This week we announced, I mentioned this earlier, that we're representing 40 U.S. Navy SEALs who are being threatened with court-martial after they are seeking a religious accommodation to the COVID vaccine mandate. Well, tomorrow, Friday afternoon, we'll be back live with our general counsel, Mike Berry, to get the details on that and to give you an update on that. Again, it'll be tomorrow afternoon. Just keep an eye on your email. If you're subscribed, we'll send out a note to let you know that's happening. But we will find out the rest of the story on that case. This is First Liberty Live, and we will see you next time, right?